My name is Ralph Briggs. I'm Chief Operating Officer for Foremost Farms. And basically, we've separated the company into two distinct groups. Our CEO, Mike Doyle, gives the overarching structure design, but then his primary focus is working on the strategy of the business. And I'd define that into two separate groups. There's kind of the corporate strategy that would go and involve JVs, mergers, sales, acquisitions, and then there's the strategy that would be with our respective groups in the butter, cheese, and ingredient business. And I have involvement in both of those from understanding the strategies and having my input as to how it affects the company. But then my primary job for the company is to go and execute tactically then those strategies that we have in place and go and operate the business successfully day to day. So we're divided into three divisions. We have our cheese division, which we make about 550 million pounds of cheese a year. We do about 240 million pounds of ingredients and around 70 million pounds of butter.
In recent weeks, Foremost Farms and the Michigan Milk Producers Association coming out with a memorandum of understanding. Can you share a little bit more about what that means for the two co-ops and how you guys came to that point?
So we had a venture at Constantine, Michigan, with them where we were RO-ing milk, or just reverse osmosis, condensing, taking off the water, concentrating the solids, and bringing those back to our plants to process as cheese. And that was our initial start to kind of manage our milk supply in the Mideast after the MEMA agency blew apart and those Class 1 sales declined significantly in that market. They represent about 50% of the milk in Michigan, and they subsequently, after the Constantine Project, acquired a cheese plant in Indiana, in Middlebury, Indiana. And because of our cheese expertise and the relationship they had, they started asking us for help on strategy for that cheese business. And so we're working with them at Constantine. We started helping them in Middlebury. Quite frankly, the facility that we're building in Greenville affords them some balancing opportunities. So it was it evolved into, well, why don't we explore what are the opportunities that we can do together collectively as two co-ops and in a market where there is so much abundance of supply, how do we manage that supply and optimize the value for both our members?
How long has that partnership in Constantine been ongoing, and maybe as it's expanded, how that's changed?
The partnership started in December of 14. It really hasn't changed that much. I mean, contractually, we've had an arrangement with them. They put in some milk. We put in some milk. It gets condensed and then brought back to our plants. Other than what we'd call the operating committee to operate it and settlements, that hasn't changed at all. But, we had a need to expand. we would have probably expanded the RO and separation right at Constantine, but wastewater treatment issues at both Constantine and their partner city, Three Rivers, made it prohibitive for us to do it at Constantine. And we already had an option on the property in Greenville, so we concluded that based on discussions we had with other companies that want to partner in Michigan, that was our best entree into expanding into that business. So
would you say that the Constantine plant is at its max capacity because of those infrastructure issues?
I can't completely characterize it that it's at its maximum. I mean, there's ongoing discussions with both communities, Constantine and Three Rivers, about expanding that. But at Greenville, we know unequivocally that we can process 6 million pounds of milk. You know, we've had discussions with the cities and their engineers, and I can't say unequivocally, but we have a line of sight that area can process the solids that we would have in waste stream for 6 million pounds of milk. So it offers us the singularly what we think the best opportunity in the state to grow manufacturing capacity and not be constrained because of people, infrastructure, utilities, or wastewater.
Ralph, would you expand a little bit more on what two co-ops coming together, what benefit that'll have for farmer members and maybe some of the hopes moving forward?
Well, I think any time that you can go and create efficiencies, either in transportation, logistics, processing, that it has ancillary benefits. And collectively, if the two cooperatives can come together and explore what those efficiencies can be, if it's, you know, we share delivery points on milk so we don't have to haul it so far, that if they have milk they need to balance, they have the opportunity to do it in one of our plants. We currently use about 30 million pounds of non-fat dry milk, and that's just basically the skim solids or the protein portion of fractionated milk. We use 30 million. They have a facility at Ovid where they make non-fat dry milk, so why not explore why we can't use some of their non-fat in our business? So as you get to exploring kind of the complementary values of the two cooperatives, you know, there's inherently a lot there that shares in commonality. And if you can leverage both companies to optimize both of them, and that result is it's a better shareholder value for the members themselves, that can't be a bad thing. So, you know, we have a lot of ideas, and I think that we're in the early stages of this, exploring just really what are the opportunities. But from a high level, it looks like there inherently could be significant opportunities in both co-ops to look at what we can do together.
Do you have any other such arrangements with other co-ops in other parts of your membership?
Well, nothing that we've done where we've even initially signed a letter memorandum of understanding. You know, we do have great relationships with other co-ops like Prairie Farms that, you know, we work on milk supplies together and how it has what I'll call a symbiotic value for both businesses. So,
do you think coming together in this way is any indication to members of an early merger?
I would say that that's way too early to conclude anything like that.
As far as other business in Michigan, originally being part of the Glambia plant, but going off on your own to create the Greenville site, what were some of the decisions and what was really best needed for your members and what can be done in Michigan?
Well, the Glambia plant at the time offered us what we saw as the single best line of sight for us to manage our milk supply. Then subsequently, how we structured the company and Mike working on strategy, he actually had a discussion with another company that led to, if you built something in Greenville, we would be interested in looking at what we could do in a venture with you there too. So we had all of kind of the basic business concepts all put in place. So when we saw that through discussions with this company and then a couple of other companies, the potential that Greenville could grow into something significant relatively fast, we felt that the flexibility that Greenville offered us over the Glambia situation offered to us what I'll call a better upside potential for our milk and our members than getting locked into the contract with Glambia, DFA, MMPA. That was much more defined and structured and didn't have limited potential for up, or had very limited potential for upside. It utilized the milk and it was a structured deal, but you know, I think that I can say assuredly, if we get the Greenville, or when we get the Greenville plant built, you'll hear early announcements that there's two or three other companies that want to be part of that too. So,
construction moving along in Greenville. Where are you at this point, and really before you'll be able to accept more milk at the facility?
Well, I mean, we have an extremely aggressive timetable. I believe you've heard that a week ago today we had the groundbreaking ceremonies there. But on Tuesday I got pictures. The bulldozers are pushing up the subsoil. Footers are being dug. So we have an extremely aggressive schedule, but our goal is to be done by October 15th and processing milk by November 1st or the 10th.
Any idea on what kind of impact that could have on some of the Michigan milk price or members with Foremost?
Well, it's going to help us because it will keep our milk in balance. You know, we haul milk clear across to Ohio to sell it today. We have several areas where we sell milk in what we would say it's less than profitable when you figure or calculate the margin that we make on the milk and the transportation costs that we have associated with it. But being able to consolidate that milk and then, you know, singularly our ability to process it, you know, in a state-of-the-art facility there will have the lowest processing costs that we would pay anywhere at this facility. And then being able to use those skim solids, which I again told you are the protein part of the milk, into our cheese plants and the cream either to sell it or to use it at our butter plant in Reedsburg. You know, we have the ability to consume 25 to 50% of that milk at our facilities ourselves. So it's going to save us significantly on transportation costs immediately.
Ralph, well, thank you so much for the update. What's happening with Foremost and really in the Great Lakes area, especially Michigan? Any other comments as far as moving ahead in the dairy industry, maybe some long-term goals you guys have?
You know, we have some pretty specific goals relative to potential strategies on our ingredient business that are going to improve that. Now, we're really excited as a company with the two or three initiatives that we see ahead of us to accomplish success and good returns for our members.